Good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. My name is Anthony Moore. I serve as the senior pastor of Carolina Church, located in Fort Washington, Maryland. I'm honored to have you all join me today on this that is called the prayer call line. This is the prayer call line for Carolina Church. Thank you for your presence on today. I want to start us to looking at the promises of God and developing a faith around the promises that God gives unto us. So I want to deal with specifically trusting in the promises of God, trusting in those promises, trusting in the promises of God as we are bombarding God with our request. I do want you to have knowledge around the promises that God makes in His Word for us, that I can arm you so that you can literally fight the enemy, not just with what your heart's desires are, but that you can also fight the enemy with the Word of God. And certainly as we pray, we lay before God intelligently those promises that He's made in His Word. I do need you all to know that there are many, many promises of God in Scripture. There are many promises that God gives unto us in Scripture. There are many. In each promise, God pledges that something will or will not be done or given or come to pass. Let me do that again. In each of the promises that God gives to us that are many, that are lined in Scripture, pledges that something will or will not be done or given or come to pass. The promises that are in the Scriptures are not flippant. They're not casual promises such as we often make. These promises of God are rock solid, unequivocal commitments made by God Himself. And because God is faithful, the recipients of the divine promises can have full assurance that what God has pledged, He will indeed fulfill. I do want you to note, if you will, in your records, Numbers 23, verse 19. In Numbers 23, verse 19, I'm going to read to you two versions. One is the New International Version, but the other one is the New Living Translation. As it relates to the promises that God makes in His Word, here's how we can begin to develop our faith in those promises. Numbers 23, verse 19 says this: God is not human. I'm reading from the NIV now. God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Let me read to you the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation says it like this: God is not a man, so He does not lie. He's not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? All throughout Scriptures, you all, we see that God is a faithful, promise-keeping God who calls His people to live trusting in the promises of God. He calls us to live trusting in the promises that He's made unto us. The promises of God are one of those things that always bring up so many questions in my mind. So as I look into the Old Testament, I can see so clearly how God made promises to His people and was always so very faithful to keep them. There's no doubt that he's a promise-keeping God when you look at stories like the life of Abraham or the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. But as I look at God's word and how it applies to me today, how do I know which promises actually apply to me as a believer in Christ? How can I trust in his promises in my daily life? I see the promises that he made and the things that he fulfilled as it relates to those promises, especially when I look at the Old Testament. But as I look at his word, I want to know, how does it apply to me today? How do I know which promises actually apply to me as a believer in Christ? And how can I trust in his promises in my daily life? And that's what I want to work and walk us through. Y'all, these are big questions to answer. But my aim is to get us started in thinking through this because it's so worth the effort. Please note this, you all. The promises of God are so rich, so comforting, and develop such hope and perseverance in the life of a believer. The promises of God are so rich, so comforting, and develop such hope and perseverance in the life of a believer. And the Bible is covered in these promises. They are the very reason we have come to faith, as we are promised salvation in his word. Let me show you what I mean. So we were promised forgiveness of our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only did he promise forgiveness of our sins as it relates to our salvation, but he also promised us eternal life with God. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Not only did he promise us forgiveness for our sins, eternal life with God, he also promised us that the Holy Spirit would live within us. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of the righteousness of God. And we can go on and on about the promises of God, especially as it relates to our salvation. We're already living out and witnessing the promises of God being fulfilled in our lives as it relates to the salvation of God. But these truths aren't just for when we first trust in Christ. They are promises for us to cling to as we live a life connected to Christ. So we need these truths to wash over us as we live each day, trusting in the promises God has given us in his word. Allow me to show you what 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. I want you to see what it says. This is what it says. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. By his divine power, God promises to give us all that we need to live a life of godliness as we come to know him in all his glorious excellency and splendor. He grants us his precious and very great promises as his children, whom he has called to himself. Y'all, what an incredible blessing we have as children to have the Word of God packed with promises that we can cling to, pray over, and live by as we trust Him each day. Hey, Pastor, but what are some of those promises? And how do we go about trusting in the promises of God that has richly been given us according to His Word? How do we know which ones apply to us? Now, here's the first thing I want to point out. The first thing I want to point out as it relates to the questions that I hear echoing from this call. Here's the first thing I want to point out. I want to point out is that the promises of God are all about God and not us. I want to make sure that we're clear on this. The promises of God are all about God and not us. In Psalm 145, verse 13, it says this: the Lord is trustworthy in all His promises and faithful in all He does. So as we grow to understand who God is, we understand His character, we understand His goodness, and we understand His power. Hear me today. You all, as we grow to understand who God is and the promises He makes to us, we understand His character, we understand His goodness, and we understand His power. Trusting in the promises of God starts with trusting God for who He says He is. As we begin to trust Him in His character and attributes, we see His incredible power translating into His actions. It is then that we can praise Him for who He is and trust in the promises that He gives to us. Wow. Listen, you all, trusting in the promises of God starts with trusting God for who He says He is. And as we begin to trust Him in His character and His attributes, we get to see His incredible power translating into Him, into His actions. And it is then that we get to praise Him for who He is and trust in the promises He gives to us. As we trust God for being a faithful, good, powerful God, we can lean on Him to do what He says He's going to do. I'm going to end here, you all. We'll pick up next week if the Lord delays this coming. And it is His will. We'll pick up here on next week and continue our study on the promises of God and how we can apply them to our lives. Trust Him by those promises and come to praise Him all the more. I need us to help me today to pray for those persons who have sent in names and for us to intercede on today. I want us to pray for Jackie Thomas, Deacon Sharon Durham, Brother Gary Davis, Sister Mary Davis, Deacon Evelyn Mack, Sister Martina Baxter, Sister Velda Jones. Was praying continuously for Elois Dix and her brother Rico. For Deacon Ruby, we're praying. We're praying for Mike Holmes. We're lifting him in prayer today. Kelly Wilson, been diagnosed with breast cancer. We're praying for Elder Matthew Durham, whose aunt transitioned. We're praying for he and the family. Sister Tamara Harvin, we are lifting today in prayer, who was admitted over the weekend to Holy Cross Hospital. We're lifting her in prayer. We're praying today for Robert Briggs, who has prostate concerns. We're lifting today Tracy Berry, dealing with some health challenges. We're praying for her on today. We're praying for Pastor Stephen Tucker, praying, interceding for Pastor Dwayne Simmons. We're praying for Reverend Harold Brinkley. We're praying for Pastor George C. Gilbert. We're praying. We're praying for pastors and churches all across this land today. I'm praying for you and for your family, for those persons that you're connected to. We're praying for Krishan Henderson, believing that God will heal her body completely. praying for Chris, her husband, and for the family. We lift today in prayer, not only that family, but I'm asking you to pray for families that you're connected to. We're praying for Gary Barty and his family, lifting that family in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we are so honored and blessed that you would not only, God, save us, but that you would give us your word laced with promises that you promised that you would fulfill in our lives. Now, God, I want to stop and thank you for the promises that you've made unto us and those promises that we, in fact, have tapped into, that you've been so faithful. God, we could really start with this morning that you touched us with the finger of love and awakened us to see a new day. And we don't want to rush past that, God, because the truth of the matter is you didn't have to do it, but you did. And so, God, we want you to know how much obliged we are. We're grateful, God, and we refuse to let rocks or any inanimate object cry out on our behalf. God, we have enough sense, and we're not that arrogant or that stubborn to not whisper unto you even now, thank you for loving us more than we loved ourselves, for protecting us when we didn't have enough sense to protect ourselves. Thank you for loving us enough to send your son to die in on our behalf, even when we were in our worst state of sinning. God, we thank you that you even saw more in us than we saw in ourselves. Lord, thank you for giving unto us opportunity after opportunity. The truth of the matter is, God, no one knows but you the secret things that we hide. And even with those secret things that no one else know about that we've partaked and been a part of, God, even with you knowing about them, you have still forgiven us of our sins. Thank you. We're not so prideful that we cannot tell you, thank you for providing for us when we wasn't even doing what you called us to do. God, thank you for your promises. Thank you, God, for how you have healed and delivered, brought forth, restored in the past. Thank you for how you've done that, God. And we've built on that, believing and knowing that if you did it then, you can do it again. Lord, we're grateful. And if you would, God, we promise to give you our minds, that you might be able to lace our minds and our hearts with your word. God, we know we live in an information era, but we're not looking for information. We want wisdom, because we know wisdom comes from you, God. God, give us the wisdom of your word. Help us to apply your word and the promises of your word to our lives so that we can live in the abundance, God, of the blessings in which you have carved out for us. Father, hear our prayer today. We need you. Now, as we go through this day, God, you go with us. We invite you to be with us. Be with us today. Let our attitudes and our actions reflect you and your kingdom. Help us to win others to Christ through the lives and the spirit you placed inside of us. This is our prayer, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God said amen. Hey, listen, you all, let me thank you so very much. I've given you some principles today that I would love for you to begin to enact and place them into your lives and certainly live through them and by them. And I can assure you that if we start applying this, we'll begin to see the hand of God moving in our lives unlike anything we've ever seen before. Now, on your mark, get set. Let's grow. I want you to have a great day on purpose. And know